إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أما بعد, we continue with the tafsir of Surah An-Nisa, the tafsir of the His Eminence Sheikh عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي عليه رحمة الله تعالى. And in our last session, we were going over some of the ayat in Surah An-Nisa, as mentioned earlier, in particular Ayah 53. Today, inshallah, we will begin the discussion on Ayah 54. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله فقد آتينا آل إبراهيم الكتاب والحكمة وآتيناهم ملكا عظيما. Or do they envy men, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers, for what Allah has given them of his bounty? Then we had already given the family of Ibrahim the book and al-hikmah, which is the sunnah according to many of the ulama, and we conferred upon them a great kingdom. Sheikh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di says, rahimahullah, in commenting on this ayah, أي هل الحامل لهم على قولهم كونهم شركاء لله فيفضلون من شاء. What is it that caused them to make this particular statement? Because we said earlier that the kuffar or the yahood used to say to the mushrikeen, those who would worship Allah wal-Uzza and false gods, idols, they would tell them, you are better guided than the Muslims. The Jews who believe in scriptures, who know that the Muslims are closest to them, we speak about Ibrahim, we believe in things that are common between us, versus the mushrikeen, the idolaters who don't believe in almost anything that is common to the people of the book. This is why a Muslim may marry a woman from the women of the people of the book, a Jew or a Christian, provided that she is chaste. But he cannot marry a Hindu, and he cannot marry a Buddhist, and he cannot marry an atheist. And some people wonder why they're all kuffar. Yes, they're all kuffar, but the Jews and the Christians, in terms of kufr, are closer to Islam than the other kuffar, because they believe in prophets, messengers, revelations. Now they denied some and believed in some, but that belief in some has a value. That's why the ulama, when they speak about the levels of people in Jahannam, the people in Jahannam will be at various levels. They're not at the same level. The Jews and the Christians will be towards the top. Who will be at the very bottom? Al-Munafiqeen. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا. That the hypocrites will be in the lowest level of the hellfire. Why? Because their crime is their greatest. He looks at you, he looks like you. His name is Muhammad or Ali, if he's a Shi'i, you know, and he in front of you is like, this is a brother. He gives the shahada, he may pray with you sometimes, but inside, he's a big kafir. Now when you deal with a kafir that is an outwardly kafir, you know how to deal with him. His name is John or whatever, I don't have to worry about it. But when someone is like you, you will give him some privileges which you wouldn't give to the kafir, but he doesn't deserve it. So he will take advantage of you. His harm against the Muslims is greater than the one who is known and identified as a disbeliever. So subsequently the hypocrite will be in the lowest level. Ala kulli hal, so this is the Jews there, they were telling the kuffar of Quraysh, you are better guided than the Muslims. Yani this is the extent of the deviance of the Muslims. So the Sheikh said, so is it that they are partners with Allah? Is that which made them make the statement that they are partners with Allah in His dominion, so that they can favor whoever they like? Do the Jews have the right to tell the kuffar you are better than the Muslims? They have no right. Are they partners with Allah in this? فَيُفَضِّلُونَ مَنْ شَاءُ, so they favor whosoever they prefer. أَمِ الْحَامِلُ لَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْحَسَدِ لِلرَّسُولِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Or is it that the thing which caused them to say that is envy? Is envy against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers because of what Allah azza wa jalla, because of what Allah had given them of favors? وذلك ليس ببدع ولا غريب على فضل الله. But that is not something that is newly invented, nor is it something which is strange when it comes to the favors of Allah. Meaning, Allah has always bestowed His favors upon His creation. So why are you, overwhelmed by the favor that He bestowed upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the mu'mineen? فَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَأَتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا. So Allah said, we had already given Al Ibrahim, the family of Ibrahim, Al-Kitab, the book, and Al-Hikmah. And we have conferred upon them a great kingdom. وَذَلِكَ مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَذُرِّيَّتِهِ مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالْمُلْكِ الَّذِي أَعْطَاهُ مَنْ أَعْطَاهُ مِنْ أَنْبِيَائِهِ. And this is concerning what Allah has bestowed of His favors upon Ibrahim and his progeny. Who are the two children of Ibrahim? Ismail and Sarah. From who did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam come?
Ismail.
From Ismail. And all other prophets of Bani Israel came from Ishaq. So from his two children, all these prophets came about, including our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the ulama, they say Ibrahim Abu al-Anbiya. He is the father of all prophets. Even though Nuh alayhi salam is the father of all prophets. But from Nuh came Ibrahim. Because what does Allah say in Surah As-Saffat? About after He spoke about Nuh, He said, وَإِنَّ مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ لَإِبْرَاهِيمِ. And from among the followers of Nuh is Ibrahim. So Ibrahim came from Nuh. At the time of Nuh, everyone drowned obviously. So Ibrahim came eventually from the family of Nuh. Then from Ibrahim, everything came about. All the prophets spread. So he is the Abu al-Anbiya. Know that kunya, this is his kunya. He is the father of the prophets. Now, so Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him and his progeny the prophethood and the book and the kingdom that Allah Azza wa Jalla had given to whomsoever He has given among His prophets. كَدَاوُودِ وَسُلَيْمَانِ. Like Dawood, كَدَاوُودَ وَسُلَيْمَانِ. Like Dawood and Sulaiman. فَإِنْعَامُهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ مُسْتَمِرًّا عَلَىٰ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah's favors continuously remain, consistently being provided and given to His believing slaves. فَكَيْفَ يُنْكِرُونَ إِنْعَامَهُ بِالنُّبُوَّةِ وَالنَّصْرِ وَالْمُلْكِ لِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَفْضَلِ الْقَلْبِ وَأَجَلِّهِمْ وَأَعْظَمِهِمْ مَعْرِفَةً بِاللَّهِ وَأَخْشَاهُمْ لَهُ. So then how do they dare to deny what Allah has given of prophethood and victory and kingdom to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the best of creation and the most honorable amongst them, and the greatest in terms of knowing Allah and the one who feared Allah the most. And you need to know that the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of all creation. Is that clear? Meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is superior to Ibrahim, superior to Isa, Jesus, superior to Musa. Not in a sense where we favor one over the other while undermining the other. And that is what we understand from لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُلٍ. We don't make a distinction like the kuffar by believing in some and disbelieving in some, or by claiming that a prophet committed a major sin like in the Bible. Nuh, according to them, was naked, drunk. Lut had relations with both of his daughters who became pregnant through their father. You name it. All of the prophets are described in the most hideous and abhorrent ways in the Bible. And so we Muslims don't have that. We don't deny any of them. We don't belittle any of them. But do we believe that Allah favored some over some? Yes. Because Allah said in the Quran, فَضَّلَ بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Allah favored some of the prophets over others. Allah spoke to Musa directly. Allah didn't speak to every prophet directly. So everyone had, that's why we have the Ulul Azm, the five messengers of strong determination. Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are better than the others. And among them, the best is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now ayah 55, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ صَدَّ عَنْهِ وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا. So of them were some who believed
in him, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and of them were some who averted their faces from him, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and enough is hell for burning them. Allahu Akbar. The Shaykh said, أي فمنهم من آمن به أي بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فنال بذلك السعادة الدنيوية والفلاح الأخروي. So among them, or some of them, including those of today, this is not only speaking about the older generations, whoever, this applies to whoever believes, whoever falls into this category. So among them are those who believed in him صلى الله عليه وسلم. So they attained the worldly happiness and the eternal success. Worldly happiness, eternal success. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ صَدَّ عَنْهُ عِنَادًا وَبَغْيًا وَحَسَدًا. And among them are those who turn their faces away from him out of stubbornness, out of transgression, out of envy. فَحَصَلَ لَهُمْ مِنْ شَقَاءِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَصَائِبِهَا مَا هُوَ بَعْضُ آثَارِ مَعَصِيهِمْ. So they were afflicted in their worldly life with calamities and wretchedness in this life, which is only, it's only a consequence of some of their sins, or it's some consequence of their sins. A part of the consequences of their sins is the calamities which afflicted them in the dunya, like the battles which they had with the Muslims where they were humiliated, or just means of being belittled in the land because of rejection of faith and other things. وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمْ سَعِيرًا. That was in the dunya. As for the akhirah, enough is Jahannam for burning them. The Shaykh said, "Mustamir afwan, tusa'aru ala man kafara billah." Tusa'ar is like the verb of igniting. Okay, it's being ignited against those who disbelieve in Allah. وَجَحَدَ نُبُوَّةَ أَنْبِيَائِهِ. And he belied and denied and rejected the prophethood of one of his prophets. من اليهود والنصارى وغيرهم من أصناف الكفرة. Like the Jews and the Christians and others among the kuffar. Which is what we need to understand. There isn't a believer on the face of the planet except the Muslim. And there isn't anyone entitled for paradise except a Muslim. There's no Jew on earth, no Christian on earth who has received the message of Islam. If he's living out in the jungle and he hasn't mixed with human beings, then Allah will test him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. As in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, the hadith of Al-Aswad, rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu, he said that, you know, on the day of resurrection, some people will come, like the deaf one, and he will say, Allah, I didn't hear anything. I mean, people were speaking to me, I couldn't understand the message. Another one would be the one with Alzheimer's, the very old person who couldn't comprehend. He will complain. So a group of people who truly didn't receive the message will present their case before Allah that I never got the faith to reject it. So the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah will test them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And that one test will actually be the summary of their life. And we know that Allah doesn't oppress anyone. Meaning had they lived life, their whole life would have been the result of that one test. And that test will be that Jahannam will be placed before them. And before that, Allah will take a covenant with them that they will obey Him. Now imagine, Allah will tell them, you will obey whatever instructions I give you. They say, we will. As soon as they give the covenant and fire is placed before them, Allah will say, throw yourselves in it. So those who fulfill the covenant with Allah, do you trust Allah or not? Do you trust Allah? If Allah told you, throw yourself in the hellfire, do you think Allah will burn you like that? So those who will not listen will actually go to Jahannam. And those who will obey Allah and jump will wind up in paradise. That's the hadith in Sahih Muslim. So now you say, but that's not fair. Because you know we have 30 years of a lifespan where we're being tested and they got only one test. We say, look, Allah knows that this one test is a manifestation of their whole life. It's not going to be anything else. So then those who don't receive the message, they will be tested by Allah. And Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. We were never to punish anyone until a messenger has been sent. But any Jew or Christian today who heard about Islam, who heard about Tawheed, who heard about the Prophet ﷺ, and he rejects faith,
he is in the hellfire eternally, will never, ever, ever go out. Because he's a disbeliever like the Hindus and the Buddhists and the atheists and the agnostics and you name it. Is that clear? Can anyone provide evidence from the Quran for what I said? I mean, we have many, but there's one encompassing, explicit ayah which most of you probably have memorized, unless you have not memorized Juz Amma yet. It seems that you haven't memorized Juz Amma yet. Ayah, Jama'at al-Khair, ya people of Dawah.
This, I'm
طيب بس عم نسجل حبيبي فخلينا بعدين سؤال عندك جواب الآية التي تدل على كفر أهل الكتاب وأنهم في النار سورة البينة إن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين في نار جهنم خالدين فيها أولئك هم شر البرية. And read the translation. Verily those who disbelieved among the mushrikeen and the people of the book will be in the hellfire, abiding there in eternally. Those are the worst of creation. They are the worst of creation inside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So only a believer is qualified to enter Jannah. Only a believer. The kuffar don't have a share. وَكَفَ بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا. And sufficient is the hellfire for burning them. نعم. ولهذا قال آية 56 إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا سوف نصليهم نارا كلما نضجت جلودهم بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب إن الله كان عزيزا حكيما. Why did you close? Okay, here we go. Surely, those who disbelieved in our ayat. An ayat, by the way, does not necessarily mean only a verse, which is even debatable whether we can translate it to a verse according to Brother Khan, but that's besides the point. An ayat is a miracle. It's a sign. It's an evidence. It's a proof. And many other meanings. All of them, by the way, are in the Quran. Who knows Surah Maryam? Anyone has Surah Maryam memorized? At least the beginning. Did he say, قَالَ رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي آيَةً قَالَ آيَتُكَ أَلَّا تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسَ ثَلَاثَ لَيَنْ سَوِيَ الْآخِرِينَ. He said, Oh Allah, اجعلني, give me an ayah. Now, does an ayah mean reveal a verse to me? No, give me a sign. A sign that, you know, my wife will be pregnant and so on and so forth. So ayah is not limited to verse. And this is very important when you're in Salatul Taraweeh or in the Salah behind the Imam and he's reciting from the Book of Allah. As soon as you hear ayah, you go to one meaning, one particular meaning. You cannot do so. The context is the one which determines what is intended by the word. على كل حال. Surely those who disbelieved in our ayat, which is proofs, evidences, verses, lessons, signs, revelations, etc. We shall burn them in fire as often as their skins are roasted through. We shall change them for other skins that they may taste the punishment. Truly Allah is ever most powerful, all wise. ولهذا قال الشيخ said إن الذين كفروا بآياتنا سوف نصليهم نارا. Verily those who have disbelieved in our ayat, we shall make them taste the fire or burn in the fire. The Shaykh said أي عظيمة الوقود شديدة الحرارة. It is great in terms of boiling and it is extreme in terms of temperature. It's very hot. نسأل الله العافية. كلما نضجت جلودهم. Every time their skins are roasted through, احترقت. بدلناهم جلودا غيرها ليذوقوا العذاب. We will replace them with new skin so they may taste the punishment. Now, they say, and Allah أعلم, and we don't wish to make the scientific evidences as proof for the validity of the Quran, because the Quran is valid with or without. Specifically when we know that science is very inconsistent. What was a theory became a fact, and what was a fact became a theory, and they continue to change. The more they discover things, the more they wind up, changing.
changes their minds about what they believed in the past. So don't make the Quran strictly related to science, because eventually they may discover something else which we had said, oh, that was in the Quran. And then the scientific fact will be that it is otherwise, then that will render the Quran as unreliable. So we don't need that. We just use it as, yani as the ulama say, yustanasu biha. We just use it as means of, you know, it helps. Now, they say that a Chinese doctor who was specialized in burns, in skin in particular, he came to a discovery that after a particular level of burning to your body, the cells, the very cells which actually, you know, which give you the feeling of pain, if they burn, then you will no longer feel pain. Yani if you continue to burn, if you are on la qadar Allah, or someone's arm continues to burn, at some point the cells themselves which feel pain will burn, and once they burn, you will no longer feel pain. You get it? So he realized, he came to this realization. So they told him, Subhanallah, Allah said in the Quran that the people in the fire, every time their skins are roasted through, we will what? Replace them with new skin, so that they may taste the punishment. And he said, there's no way that someone could have had this information back at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, because he did a lot of studies and he embraced Islam. And you can find this in a documentary about scientific miracles of the Quran, or something along these lines. That he was convinced that this must have been revelation, because how did he know otherwise? Someone could be roasted and burn and burn and burn, you know, and he will still feel the pain. There will be no need for the skin to be replaced again. Wallahu a'lam. Wallahu a'lam. At any rate, we say, yani the affairs of the life to come are unlike the affairs of the dunya. And it is not necessary that Allah will make their skins replaced for them to feel the pain. Allah may make them feel the pain anyways. But yani, we say it's something that we can add as a positive point for those who are very scientifically oriented. We can, you know, shove this one down your throat, as they say, if they like it. Now, where was I? Aywa. بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُنُودًا غَيْرَ لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابِ. We replace them with new skin so they may taste the punishment. أَيْ لِيَبْلُغَ الْعَذَابُ مِنْهُمْ كُلَّ مَبْلَغٍ. So that the punishment will overcome them in every sense of the word. وَكَمَا تَكَرَّرَ مِنْهُمُ الْكُفْرُ وَالْعِنَادِ وَصَارَ وَصْفًا لَهُمْ وَسَجِيَّةً كَرَّرَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْعَذَابُ جَزَاءً مِفَاقًا. Beautiful observation. The same way they were repeatedly disbelieving, they were consistently being in the state of disbelief and stubbornness, and until it became a quality and a trait in them. Yani kufr became a trait. No matter what you bring of evidence, they will continue to reject. Similarly and proportionally, Allah Azza wa Jal caused the punishment to be also redundant, repetitive and consistent, equivalent to the amount of kufr. They were disbelieved over and over again, and they would be punished over and over again. Jaza'an, wifaqa, and equal recompense. An equal recompense. This is from the adl of Allah. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ لَسْوَ اللَّهُ سَدْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. Verily Allah is ever full of might, all wise. أَيْ لَهُ الْعِزَّةُ الْعَظِيمَةُ وَالْحِكْمَةُ فِي خَلْقِهِ وَأَمْرِهِ وَثَوَابِهِ وَعِقَابِهِ. Meaning Allah has the greatest might, and Allah has wisdom. Wisdom in His creation, wisdom in the commands which He gives His creation, wisdom in the reward, the good reward which He gives to His creation, and wisdom in the punishment with which He punishes His creation. Everything has wisdom in it. Even the punishment of the kuffar is full of wisdom. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَ, as Allah said, and they did not, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ, and we did not oppress them. وَلَكِنْ أَنفُسَهُمْ كَانُوا يَظْلِمُونَ. But it is themselves that they used to oppress. Allah never oppressed a creature. Never. Everyone was given a fair and square chance to believe, because Allah gave us a natural disposition to believe. He sent messengers with revelation and scriptures, and He preserved them and protected them to believe. He gave us everything we need. The mere observation of the universe will lead you to the belief in the one God. What is left for you is to search which religion teaches that one unique God. It doesn't take a genius to find it. You're not going to find it in Christianity. You're not going to find it in Judaism. You're not going to find it in Hinduism. The only religion which agrees with human intellect and with natural disposition is Islam. But the people don't want the truth. They want to have fun, they want to have girlfriends, they want to get drunk, they want to get high. And so when you present them with something which tells them that all of these are prohibited, and you cannot have a body your whole life because there's a life to come, then of course they're not going to like Islam. So they will say, oh, your prophet was a pedophile. Oh, Islam oppresses women. Oh, blah, blah, blah. They will come up with all kinds of excuses to justify their disbelief. Otherwise, there's nothing in Islam which will make someone reject faith. Unless Muslims are not representing Islam correctly, or we're unable to answer the misconceptions which they have. If we were able to do so, and we should be able to do so, trust me, no one can have anything against Islam. Nothing. Anything they present, we will squash it right then and there. That's why it's an obligation on the people of Da'wah to learn, to be well versed in the in Da'wah. It is not enough to memorize 3-4 ayat and 2-4 narrations and answer one misconception and go out. No, Habibi. It's an ongoing process. You have to learn and learn and learn until you become at a stage where any kafir in the world, no matter how esteemed he is in the eyes of the kuffar, if he stands in front of you, you will step on him and keep moving. He can't say anything about Islam except that you will have 10 answers. He brings polygyny or polygamy. The actual correct term is polygyny, not polygamy. But we can accept polygamy, that's fine. If he presents anything about it, you should have at least 5 silencing refutations about the wisdom behind a man being able to marry more than one wife. He brings jihad. And you Muslims are terrorists, and you Muslims believe you should kill the kuffar, and you Muslims this and that. What do you say? Do you lie like the liars? Say, no, Islam is peace. Brother, peace, I love you. We've heard this, wallah, we've heard this from people of Da'wah. Oh, I love you. Jews and Christians, Allah tells us to love you in the Quran. Where? Where does Allah tell us to love you in the Quran? You liar? Oh no, peace. This, the jihad, this was back then. Now, khalas, mafi. Everything which Islam is, they say, no, it's okay, this one will change. The modernists, the modern Muslims, anything which they don't like about Islam, they bring a mechanic and he makes some, adjustments. They have a new Islam every day. And so these are not the people of Da'wah. That's why you have to say the truth. Say, yes, you have a problem with jihad, man? Do you have a problem? What country you come from? Let him say any country. Let him say the state. Say, the country with the greatest military in the world. Why? Why? Why are you in Afghanistan? And why are you in Iraq? What are you doing, man? Why do you have weapons? Why? Say, because, we have to defend our country, we have to defend our this. Sometimes it requires that we attack people ahead of time so that we prevent the attack. Say, then this is Islam. Yeah, you're a country and we're a nation. Why can you have a military power and we can't? What's the difference between us? And anyways, who do Muslims fight with? Have you ever seen us, according to the teachings of Islam, leave alone the terrorists, have you ever seen a Muslim kill a woman? Have you ever seen him kill a child? Blow up a factory? No, wallah, it's not allowed in Islam to do any of that. What do you do in your military? You bomb people, you kill innocent, you kill the elderly, you blow up masajid. We're not allowed to do that in Islam. Even a church, we cannot blow it up. What are you talking about? You're the terrorist. We are being terrorized. So you give them the silencing reputation, shut them up, because they got used to us being apologetic. Yeah, I'm sorry, Malish. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not. And you don't like it? May Allah throw you in Jahannam. What's your problem? You don't like the deen of Allah? You don't have an issue with me. Allah will hold you accountable for not loving His religion. If you have a problem with the religion of Allah, you have a problem with the Creator. And He has a punishment for people like you. I don't have to do anything about it. You can go your own way, I can go my own. You have to have confidence when it comes to these issues. No more playing games. We don't play games with the deen. You say it as it is. If the people like it, Alhamdulillah. If they don't like it, Salaamu Alaikum. Even if you're giving a public lecture and there are 1,000 Hindus and they ask you something about Islam which will offend all of them, but it's the truth, you have to say it. You have to say it. And if they don't like it, Allah Azza wa Jalla, the Prophet ﷺ told us, "Al-Nabi yati yawm al-qiyamah wa laysa ma'ahu ahad." The Prophet will come on the day of recompense. He doesn't have any followers, not even one follower, a prophet of Allah, one whom Allah chose to give da'wah to the people. No one believed in him, no one accepted him. You're not better than him. You're not supposed to count shahada. One shahada, two, I have 5, 50, 20. It's not about counting. Your job is to deliver the deen to the people. If people embrace Islam, barakallah fiqh. If they don't embrace Islam, you're not better than a prophet who will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah without any followers. But you have to say the truth, even if it is bitter, even if it hurts. But that's what it is. Now ayah 57 says, I need to go back here. أيوة والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سندخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا لهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وندخلهم ظلا ظليلا. But those who believe in the oneness of Allah, the Islamic monotheism, and do deeds of righteousness, we shall admit them to gardens under which rivers flow, to paradise, abiding therein forever. Therein they shall have azwajun mutahharatun, purified mates or spouses or wives, and we shall admit them to shades wide and ever deepening. The Shaykh said, in commenting on this ayah, وَأَيِّ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَيِّ بِاللَّهِ وَمَا أَوْجَبَ الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ. Those who believed in Allah and what Allah necessitated that you believe in, what Allah obliged us to believe in, which are what? الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ واليوم الآخر والإيمان بالقدر خيره وشره. Six pillars of Iman which you have, should have memorized. Specifically the hadith of Jibreel. The hadith about Islam and Iman and Ihsan and the signs of the Day of Judgment. This hadith is very important for da'wah because it summarizes our deen in one single narration. That's why at the end it says, إِنَّهُ جِبْرِيلْ أَتَاكُمْ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. He said, this is Jibreel, he came to teach you your religion. So Islam is taught right there in one hadith. Hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالِ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. They did righteous deeds. مِنَ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَالْمُسْتَحَبَّاتِ. Wajibat is what? What is wajib? Obligatory. Well, some of the ulama make a distinction between wajib and farida, but fine. Obligatory. Well, mustahabbat? How about a voluntary? The voluntary acts. That which is preferred. What did you say? Mustahab. Yeah, mustahab. Now I'm looking for, you know, more words. We like to variety, you know, have a variety of synonyms. سندخلهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا لهم فيها أزواج مطهرة أي من الأخلاق الرذيلة والخلق الذميم ومما يكون من نساء الدنيا من كل دنس وعين. Now why are these women purified? Or these mates purified? They're purified of lowly traits, you know, like the jealousy and the, you know, maybe envy, maybe a harshness, anything which is in a woman today that will not be in the women of Jannah. Well, khuluq al-zameem, and any bad characteristic as well. And anything which is amongst the women of the dunya, we can add to that purified physically. The purified, characteristics wise, I guess, and they're purified physically, as in there's no menstrual cycle, there's no blowing the nose, there's no spitting, there's no, you know, nothing. All of the nasty stuff, urination, defecation, what have you, all of these are non-existent among Hur al-Ain. Or the women who wind up making it to Jannah from among the women of the dunya. They do not have any of these, nasty things which they have today. So that means that, you know, the brother will be having fun around the clock. And there's nothing to prevent him from that. Doesn't have to wait some time. If you're not married, I'm sorry, this is beside the subject. And brother's like, okay, what is he talking about? عَلَى كُلْ حَالٍ وَنُدْخِلْهُمْ ظِلًّا ظَلِيلًا. We will have him go into a deepening
deepening shade. And I guess, shall we do ayah 58? We'll do ayah 58. It's important. إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل إن الله نعما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. Here Allah Azza wa Jal says, verily Allah commands that you should render back the trusts to those to whom they are due. And that when you judge between men, you judge with justice. Verily Allah, verily how excellent is the teaching which He, Allah, gives you. Truly Allah is ever all hearer, all seer. The Shaykh said, الأمانات كل ما تمن عليه الإنسان وأمر بالقيام به. What are amanat? The trusts. He said, it is everything which you have been, the human being has been entrusted with and been commanded, has been commanded to carry out. Anything which you were entrusted with and you were commanded to carry out, this is an amana which you have to fulfill. So our jobs are an amana. Because you were entrusted with doing a particular job and you were commanded to carry it out. If we don't, then we're not fulfilling the amana. فَأَمَرَ اللَّهُ عِبَادَهُ بِأَدَائِهَا. Allah commanded His slaves that they shall carry out. They shall carry out that which they were entrusted with. Fulfill it. أي كاملة موفرة لا منقوصة ولا مبغوصة ولا ممطولا بها. It should be done perfectly, not deficient. It should not, nothing should be taken away from it, and it should not be stretched out in terms of time. Not elongated, time-wise. Meaning you're given 1 week, and you take 1 month. وَيَدْخُلُ فِي ذَلِكَ أَمَانَاتُ الْوَلَايَاتِ وَالْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَسْرَارِ وَالْمَأْمُورَاتِ الَّتِي لَا يَطَّلِعُ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Included in that are the walaya, the rulership, or the one who's in charge, the wali. And al-amwal, wal-asrar, secrets, and anything which has been commanded, even things which none is able to see or none knows but Allah. وَقَدْ ذَكَرَ الْفُقَهَاءُ عَلَى أَنَّ مَنْ اِتُمِنَ أَمَانَةً وَجَمْ عَلَيْهِ حِفْظُهَا بِحِرْزٍ مِثْلِهَا قَالُوا لِأَنَّهُ لَا يُمْكِنُ أَدَاهُ إِلَّا بِحِفْظِهَا. So the scholars say, if someone has been entrusted with something, it is obligatory on him to preserve it with that which is, it is preserved with. Because he will not be able to carry out this amana unless he protects it and he preserves it. فَوَجَبَ ذَلِكَ. So protecting it becomes an obligation besides the amana itself. وَفِي قَوْلِ إِلَاهِيَا دَلَالَةٌ عَلَى أَنَّهَا لَا تُدْفَعْ وَتُؤَدَّى لِغَيْرِ الْمُؤْتَمِنِ. And when Allah says إِلَى أَهْلِهَا, to the people who deserve it, this means that you should not pay the amana, you should not fulfill the trust to other than those who deserve it. Yeah, and you don't give it to someone else and say, well, I did that. No. If the amana or that thing belongs to X person, then you cannot give it to Y person, you have to give it to X person, which seems logical, but some people try to play tricks with the deen. وَكِيلُهُ بِمَنْزِلَتِهِ. But he may have a representative who takes on his role. That's fine. You may give wakala to someone who will represent you in court, represent you in marriage, represent you in all these things. Islam allows that. For example, the Prophet ﷺ, during Hajjat al-Wada, he made Ali the wakil in slaughtering the rest of the camels. He slaughtered some and Ali slaughtered the others on behalf of the Prophet ﷺ. He was his wakil. Right? طيب. فَلَوْ دَفَعَ لِغَيْرِ رَبِّهَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مُؤَدِّيَنَا. If he pays it to other than one, to its master, then he has not truly fulfilled that trust. You must give it to the one who deserves it. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَنْ تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. If you judge between men, between people, you should do so with justice. وَهَذَا يَشْمَلُ الْحُكْمُ بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الدِّمَاءِ وَالْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَرَضِ. This includes judging between people concerning blood, meaning killing, death, and what have you. والأموال والأعراض. And people's, you know, the أعراض is like the, how would I translate that to English? For example, if there's fornication, If there's a case of fornication or adultery, then the irth of this woman has been affected, meaning her honor, her dignity, and what things of this nature. القليل من ذلك أو الكثير. Whether that is abundant or that is little, still you have to do so with justice. على القريب والبعيد. And you apply justice with the far and the near. والبر والفاجر. With the righteous and the wicked. والولي والعدو. And the one who's your friend and your enemy. والمراد بالعدل الذي أمر الله بالحكم به هو ما شرعه الله على لساني رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من الحدود والأحكام. Now this is very important. The justice which Allah is commanding here is not the one that you find in the American Constitution or the British one or in Canada or in India or whatever. The adil, the justice, is the one which Allah had revealed upon the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning that justice is the deen of Islam. The justice is the deen of Islam. Don't worry about it. Allah says, it's over. The justice is the deen of Islam. Not anything else. Because some people take the case to court. And the court rules for them in favor of someone which is not according to Islam. And they will say that the ruling in Islam is not fair. It's not fair. They don't like what Islam gave. And so that's not, no, that is justice. But what the court gave you, you know, when you went, is not just. Because it is not in agreement with the revelation of Allah. Pertaining to hudud and ahkam, the penal codes and the rules in general, the legislation. وَهَذَا يَسْتَلْزِمُ مَعْرِفَةِ الْعَدِّ لِيُحْكَمْ بِهِ. This necessitates that before you judge between people in justice, you must know what? Justice. Meaning you must know the deen. Otherwise you can't be judging between people. وَلَمَّا كَانَتْ هَذِي أَوَامِرُ حَسَنَةً عَادِلًا. Now, when these commands, because these commands were good and just, قَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذِكُمْ بِهِ. Allah said, what an excellent advice Allah gives you. إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. Verily Allah is ever all hearer, all seer. وهذا مدح من الله لأوامره ونواهيه. Allah عز وجل praises His own commands and prohibitions. لاشتماله على مصالح الدارين ودفع مضارهما. Because they include or they cover the benefits of both abodes, the abode of the dunya and the abode of the life to come, and they also prevent you from the harm of the dunya and the life to come. لأن شارعهما السميع البصير. Because the legislator is the all-hearer, all-seer. الذي لا تخفى عليه قافية. The one that nothing can escape him. Nothing will escape him. ويعلم من مصالح العباد ما لا يعلمون. He knows concerning what is beneficial for his slaves that which they themselves do not know. Obviously. So with this, inshallah, we conclude this discussion of today. بإذن الله عز وجل, if we remain alive and healthy next week, we'll be dealing with ayah 59, and it's a very important ayah concerning referring matters back to the deen and the judgment back to Allah and His Messenger, as opposed to desires or other things. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.